I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, let's see. Born in England, daughter of immigrants, raised in Scotland, medical student, becomes one of the top musical acts in the UK. We'll hear about the unlikely journey of breakout star Emily Sandé. She will join us for a reprise of her special performance and conversation that we had with her recently, right here in our Washington, D.C. studios. That's coming up. But first, you know how they say never judge a book by its cover? Well, now we hear from someone you probably think you know. You've certainly seen him just about every day for the past 15 years, NBC Today Show weatherman Al Roker. But while you might have witnessed his fluctuating weight, he once topped the scales at 340 pounds. Today he's a fit 200. But behind the numbers and jovial, fun, fat guy veneer was an intense struggle, one that included numerous failed diets, pleas from his wife, and a promise his father demanded from his deathbed. Al Roker details these moments in a remarkably candid new book. It's called Never Going Back, Winning the Weight Loss Battle for Good. I spoke with him recently, and I began our conversation by asking why he went public with his weight loss struggles.
Well, it seems for some reason in the last few years, people are really curious about my weight loss and what I've done to keep it off. Whenever I, at a public appearance or anything like that, that's usually one of the first questions. What time do you get up every morning? So many people struggle with their weight. You know, I don't want anybody to think, I read this book and I'm going to lose 100 pounds. That's not the case. It's really more of a memoir seen through the prism of weight loss and somebody who's struggled with weight all their life.
That is one of the questions I had that you answered in the book, which is that you say that you battled with weight your entire life, but you also say in the book that it really kind of hit you at age 15 when Bill Cosby developed a Fat Albert character, and I'm not going to take you through that again. I'm not going to spare you hearing,
No, no, but
you just describe just the terribleness of it. Why was it so bad?
I'm black, I'm fat, my name's Albert. It was the embodiment of who I had become. I'm at 15 years old. I'm a sophomore in high school, and here's this character. It started as a special it was a Thursday night on NBC, and I remember thinking maybe somehow nobody I know saw this, and I get to school, and walk into the cafeteria, and it's a chorus of hey hey hey. And it's like, oh, okay. But, you know, you're in high school, so you've got to kind of, put on a false front and, hey, yeah, isn't that funny? Oh, God. It was even then that you're kind of confronted with it, but you use humor or whatever, the jolly fat person to kind of deflect.
What if you could just describe it for people who've never lived through it, never struggled with their weight, what do you think is like the worst thing
I don't know if it's any one worst thing. It's a series of little indignities. Getting on a plane and worrying that the seatbelt isn't going to fit, or that if it doesn't fit and you kind of discreetly whisper to the flight attendant that you need an extender, and they go rummaging around for it, and then they, get on the intercom and ask the flight attendant in the back to bring up an extender, and then she hands it to that flight attendant. Well, everybody pretty much knows what's going on. I've got kids from my oldest, who's now 25, but, the heartbreak of not being able to get on a ride with her because the restraining bar won't close on the roller coaster or whatever ride it is you're going on. It's those little things that you're like, ugh. or just the terror of realizing you left, say, some clothing home on a trip. Now you have to try and find a pair of pants, let's say, which you can't go to the Gap or any place like that. I mean, now, ironically, today, you can go to Old Navy and they're carrying pants up to size 50, which I think is more of a commentary on the reality of America's new weight gain.
You know, when you have a whole chapter in the book titled The Indignities of Being Fat, and people would actually watch what you eat and ask, are you supposed to eat that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they feel quite emboldened and quite free about pointing out things to you, you know, where they just feel the freedom. And I also feel that, you know, fat is the last bastion of political incorrectness. You know, you want to get a cheap laugh in a sitcom or movie, put a fat person in and have them do something or have something happen to them. And it's, oh, look at the fat person struggle. Oh, isn't that great?
But you say, though, in the book, you said you wanted to, like what people would say, are you supposed to be eating that? And you'd say you'd want to reply, are you supposed to be rude?
Exactly.
Why didn't you?
You know what? Because when your whole persona is that of somebody, you know, who's fun and funny and, you know, people, you know, then it's, oh, well, that Al Roker, you know, oh my gosh, what a jerk. Although now I will admit I do feel a little more emboldened. I about a week and a half ago, a couple of weeks ago, a guy comes up and I get this all the time now, which I don't think people realize what they're saying. You know, I thought you were funnier when you were fatter. You know, I said, yeah, and I thought you were smarter before you opened your mouth.
Okay.
But you know, people say the darndest things, as Art Linkletter once said.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Al Roker. That is a name and a face that you surely know, weatherman for the Today Show. He chronicles his more than 100-pound weight loss in a new book. It's called Never Going Back, Winning the Weight Loss Battle for Good. You know, you write about how you had bariatric surgery, mm-hmm. which basically reduced your stomach to the size of an egg. And I just want to make it clear, as you make it clear in the book, that you're not recommending this.
Right.
You are, just like you don't recommend diets or weight loss programs, because as you point out, you know, this is a very personal and individual thing. But I do want to ask why you were so secretive about it. I mean, you say that you didn't tell even your coworkers about it until a few months after the procedure. And then only because one of the tabloids was about to reveal this. What was that about?
Well, it was about a lifelong struggle with my weight and trying different diets and failing. And in my mind, I felt pretty confident that I was going to lose this weight. But, I mean, this is after this, there's no other options. I mean, when you do bariatric surgery, you're pretty much, I mean, you've run the gamut. And my fear was that it was going to come back, or it wouldn't take, or something would happen, and I would just, besides being fat again, then I would look really stupid and just be an abject failure. And so I thought, if I don't tell anybody, then maybe nobody will notice, and I'll just lose the weight, and then I can kind of reveal that I've lost this weight. You know, that was the only flaw in my whole plan, that I hadn't thought about the fact that actually, I am going to lose a lot of weight, and it's going to be pretty rapid. And in being on TV, a few people might notice. So it just was a poorly thought out plan.
Hmm. Did you feel that, in a way, it would seem like a failure, like the easy way out, and that people would judge you for it?
I get people asking that all the time, you know, or saying that, you know, well, you lost weight, but it was a cheat. You know, you took and I'm thinking, let's see, somebody goes in, makes holes where there aren't, rearranges your insides. You now have to take massive multivitamins and supplements because your body can't absorb or doesn't get what it needs from the food. You know, there's a 1 in 200 chance of dying from either the surgery or complications therein. There can be chronic complications from this, and I refuse to ever endorse this. I mean, I've turned down 6-figure checks from organizations to represent them, and I won't do it because forget about all this other stuff. The last thing I want is somebody to come up to me and say to me, you know what, my mother or my father, my brother, sister, wife, husband had the gastric bypass because you recommended it and they died.
Hmm.
I just don't want that on my conscience. I can't deal with that. So, I won't recommend it. And look, any good surgeon, and there are a lot of them have popped up to do this. Do you know there's no board certification for bariatric surgery? If you're a surgeon and you can get a hospital to give you space, I mean, a lot of them now don't even do it in a hospital. They do it in the in-suite, you know, although they need to have it really done in a hospital. But you can be a bariatric surgeon.
You know, this is the other thing I think was kind of surprising to me to read in the book is the hateration when you do lose the weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the one hand, you talk about the indignities, the large and small indignities of having excess weight. But then when you do lose the weight, the hateration of people who really don't seem to be happy for you.
Well, here's the deal. I talk with saboteurs who either, unconsciously or consciously don't like what you've done. Part of the problem, I had low self-esteem. My self-esteem was because of the weight, or not just because of the weight, but that was one of the symptoms of it. And, you have a different persona in a sense. Once you lose the weight, there's a certain self-confidence, a certain self-esteem. You feel better. And people may not be able to deal with that person. They were used to the other person, the person who, was kind of ashamed of themselves and wasn't happy with themselves, and all of a sudden, here you're a different person, or if not different, you're certainly, there are parts of you that are more positive, more self-assured, more self-confident, and people, I think, have problems dealing with that. Or all of a sudden, they're not the best looking person in the room.
You write. So you have some very interesting reflections on weight and how it kind of affects you and affects how you are perceived. And for example, you write, "Was I heavy because I was shy, or was I painfully shy and became heavy as a way to help insulate myself? My weight gave me a barrier that somehow made me feel safe because I desperately feared rejection. I played the 'it's not my fault I'm fat' card a lot as a way of justifying any type of failure." And you said, "I don't think my weight held me back professionally, but I can't help but wonder if I did this well being fat, how much better could I have done if I'd been fit?" But you also, I think this is to your credit, talk about the fact that thank God you're not a woman, because there's a terrible double standard in our industry that would never have allowed a 340-pound woman to do the news.
Absolutely not. And
was it hard? Was it hard to write that?
No, because I've always felt it. I really have. I mean, you look around on the dial, and it's rare to see a very heavy woman on TV. There was that anchor woman recently who, I think she was in Michigan. I can't remember exactly where. But, some viewer wrote, a really disparaging letter to her or email.
Yeah, you're not a good role model. That's what she said.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she answered back on the air. I think that, and look, I have nothing to kick about. I have a terrific job. I have a beautiful wife, 3 great kids. So people have said, "Well, what more do you want? What more could you have achieved?" And the answer is, I don't know. Would I have been president of the United States? No. But I don't know what I would have done.
Well, speaking of the president of the United States, recently you were in Washington for the inauguration.
Yes.
And a couple of your moments have been repeated since as one of the highlights of the day. This is you when you're trying to get Vice President Joe Biden to come over and say hello. Here's you trying to make that happen.
Mr. Vice President! Mr. Vice President! Mr. Vice President! Mr. Vice President! Hey, how you doing? Come on, come on. Come on!
Whoa!
They're gonna let you. Yes!
I got a handshake from Vice President Joe Biden. That's not so bad.
Yeah, you got a handshake from Vice President Joe Biden. You got a thumbs up from the president.
Yes.
Why are we so happy about this? I mean, what is...
You know what? I think because... I don't live in Washington. I don't... I mean, you know what? We forget, I think, in this country, it's the president of the United States. And guess what? It could have been Barack Obama. It could have been George Bush. I wouldn't have cared. It's the president of the United States who's saying hello to you, who's responding to you. And here's the vice president. He was just, you could see the joy, him walking. He was walking backwards, waving to the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you love this guy. I think people responded to the sheer joy of it. And look, I'm a kid from Queens. The president of the United States acknowledged me. The vice president came over and shook my hand. And it was on Martin Luther King Jr.'s day. All I could do is to stop from crying, thinking about my parents about what they would have thought about that. Hmm. You know, so you know, it. I think it's it means a lot.
Hmm. Well, thank you for thinking that through with me.
Sure. I don't have to go to my therapist. That works.
Exactly. How do you feel now that you put all this out there? How do you feel now that you put it all out there?
You know, I feel pretty good about it. I've been going to these book signings, and it's really humbling to have people come up, and they feel this connection. They feel like, okay, finally somebody gets it. Somebody understands. Because, look, unless you suffer from a weight issue, I'm married to somebody. My wife, Deborah Roberts, I mean, she's been a size 4 for most of her adult life. She runs. She's healthy. It was an issue in our marriage. You know, she could not understand why I could not just push away from the table, shut my mouth, and get up and run or exercise. And it's you. I mean, you can't blame anybody else. There's nobody else to blame. It's you. And once you've decided to do this, and it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now that I'm where I am, you know what? I like the way I look, and I like being able to go buy clothes, and I like the idea that I can go into the Gap or Target just to annoy my 14-year-old. I bought shorts, cargo shorts, at Abercrombie and Fitch. Even though she said, you are not buying those. I said, oh, yes, I am. And guess what? I'm wearing them out of the store. So what are you going to do?
Another good reason to lose weight. Annoy your teenagers.
Give back to them what they give to you.
Al Roker is the weatherman and feature anchor for NBC's Today Show. His latest book is called Never Going Back, Winning the Weight Loss Battle for Good. And he was kind enough to stop by our studios in New York City. Al Roker, thank you so much for joining
us. Michelle, thank you too.